Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life. On this episode, I'm feeling a bit lonely. I make an apology to bagels. I reminisce on my amazing experience at the Paris Marathon 2 years ago, and I chat to a couple of chums about their current marathon training experience. Oh, and also, Harry reports live from the slopes. So hello and welcome to episode 18 of One for the Road. This is Lissy with you here. I'm on my own this time. Unfortunately, or rather fortunately for her, Harry has gone skiing for 2 weeks. So I'm left on my own to chat to myself, which feels very weird. Yes, quite jealous that she's off for 2 whole weeks. Not necessarily the skiing part. I've never been skiing in my life. I think I'd be pretty bad at it. Although I've heard there's lots of hot chocolate and jacuzzis involved, which I'd be quite pleased with. But yeah, having 2 whole weeks off from work and just to go run around the mountain sounds glorious. So very jealous of that. So yeah, I'll be here on my own this time. And I did this a couple of, well, it was quite a while ago now, actually, when Harry went on honeymoon back in April last year. I think it was episode 3 or 4. I was on my own then, so I got a couple of chums involved, and I'm doing the same this time. So I've interviewed a couple of people, and we're doing a bit of a marathon training special this time. So we'll be hearing from both my friends Michelle and Gosha later in the episode. But firstly, a quick recap of the last fortnight. So the first thing that I have to get out of the way is a massive apology. Last time we spoke about fueling whilst out on a long run, and I accidentally said something which turned out to be extremely slanderous against bagels. So we were talking about what you eat before and after a run, and we said bagels were really good, and I said that they were the equivalent of 8 slices of toast, and this caused a little bit of uproar. I think the hashtag Bagelgate might even have been used on Twitter, as some people were unhappy that I might have given bagels a bad name, and when really they're very good, and I agree. I'm very happy with bagels. I really enjoy them myself. And after some further research, found out that there is evidence to suggest that they are actually the equivalent to 3 slices of toast, not 8. So we can all calm down. We can sleep safe in the knowledge that that's pretty normal breakfast. Like 3 slices of toast, I'm happy with that. Like I'd eat that on a normal day, even if I'm not going for a run. So bagels, you're all good. I've actually been enjoying them a lot myself recently. Butter and peanut butter, of course. So this has been a bit of a topic of debate in my office. If you've got toast or a bagel, do you have butter and peanut butter? Obviously you do. Need both together. Oh, so good. Anyway, it's been a breakfast of choice of late. So yes, apologies to bagels. We're all good. Second thing to talk about is our birthday run, which we mentioned in the last episode. So very excitingly, the first anniversary of the first One for the Road podcast is coming up at the beginning of March, and to celebrate we're going to go for a run. So apologies if you're not in London, but if you are in London on Sunday the 6th of March, and it's before you're going to take your mum out for lunch because it's also Mother's Day, come join us. We are going to be meeting for a run in central London. We'll be meeting at Waterloo. Then we're going to go do a really casual, really lovely little loop of the river, end up back at Waterloo, and then we'll get coffee and cake or pastries or whatever you fancy, just have a little bit of a natter, and it will just be really lovely to meet some of our listeners in real life. So to keep in the loop with this, I would suggest that you join our Facebook page. We're going to be putting the event up on there. So if you just go onto Facebook and search One for the Road, our page will come up, and we'll also obviously let you know the exact details on Twitter, but it will be the morning of Sunday the 6th of March. Okay, so runners' highs and runners' lows. This week, Harry recorded hers before she went away, so we'll give hers a listen first and then come back.
So, hello. I'm off and away skiing, and I've left poor Lissy to manage the podcast all on her own. But I thought I'd share with you what I've been up to for the last 2 weeks and my runner's highs and runner's lows. So I'd say my runner's high in the last 2 weeks is I had a really lovely weekend last weekend where I went to visit my mum and dad in Norfolk, and I went for about 6-7 miles along the coast. They live right by the sea, and I was able to actually go onto the cliff, right onto the coastal path, which I wouldn't normally do. Normally I just run along the road. I was feeling brave, and despite it being very muddy and very windy, it was beautiful and so amazing to be just running right along the edge of the cliff. It's definitely something that you really can appreciate, coming from living in the city. Being out by the sea with fresh air, it just is the best head clearer ever. And my runner's low, I think the last 2 weeks, and I'm sure most people will generally identify with this, I've just felt like I've done so much washing. Like, I just seem to have worn more lycra in the last 2 weeks than usual, and the machine has just been on and on. It hardly feels like the lowest of the low, but it is not cool. It's also resulted in me wearing some very interesting combos, which just shouldn't really be seen in public. And that's it from me. I'll probably be sliding down a mountain when you hear this, hopefully. Probably trying not to break any bones. But hopefully I'll be sharing lots of pictures with you and fun snowboarding, probably slightly embarrassing stories when I'm back. Bye for now.
So it was properly lovely to hear Harry there. On to my runner's highs and runner's lows. So my runner's high this fortnight has to be going for a run last Sunday with my friend Michelle, who's coming up later in the show. So obviously last Sunday was Valentine's Day, and we met super early. We met at 7:45 on Sunday morning near Hyde Park, because the football was on pretty early on Sunday, so we had to get done and finish before kickoff at midday. And we met really early. We ran through Hyde Park, we ran down to the river, did a river loop, and it was a very, like, it should have been a very uneventful run, and it was a really uneventful run, and I think that's why it was so good, because it was a route that was in no way new to either of us. It was kind of a classic marathon training run, just looping the river. But it was an absolutely gorgeous morning last Sunday, and I don't know if it was because we were just out so much earlier than we would be normally, but everyone we passed smiled at us or said morning or waved or was just really happy. Or I'm gonna say that it's the time of the day and not because it was Valentine's Day, because I can't believe that actually affects people. And it was just a really nice run, and we both said that. So we did 10 miles together, and she did a few miles before she met me, and we both just said it just felt like the easiest run we've done for ages, and we'd finished and been running for nearly 2 hours, and it just didn't feel like that long at all. It just felt like it was an absolute breeze. It was just really lovely. And also what really made it was we stopped at Millennium Bridge to take some photographs, and there was a guy there with his professional camera set up, And he managed to take some photos of us whilst we were walking towards him, because he just had it set up, so it was just constantly taking photos. And we stopped to take our own photos, and he just got chatting to us because it was really early and there wasn't that many people around, and we were all taking photos. And he offered to send us the photos that he had of us, which was super lovely. So thank you very much. His name is Pete Reed. I've put the picture on Instagram because it was so good. It was absolutely gorgeous shot he got of us. So that just really made our morning as well. And then we met up later and had burgers and beer and watched some more football and went to the cinema to see How to Be Single, which was nowhere near as good as I hoped it would be. But it was just a really nice day, and I think it was such a good day because it started off so wonderfully with such a lovely run. That's my runner's high. I don't really have a runner's low. I'm feeling super, super excited to run Brighton Half next weekend. I've only run one race in like the last 6 months, and I think this running less races thing is really working out well for me. I don't think I've ever been so excited to run a race before. I'm genuinely just really, really looking forward to it. I know that I'm going to have a really good time. This will be the third year that I've run Brighton Half. I'm going for the weekend, so we're going down the Saturday before, having kind of a day there in Brighton, and then running the race in the morning, and we're hanging around and having a roast dinner. Yeah, I just have absolutely no fear about the race. I'm not worried in the slightest. I've put no pressure on myself to meet a time anymore, so I was going to go for a sub 2, and I don't think I'm going to do it now. I think there's a good chance that I could PB, which will be equally as amazing, and I think just having a race that I know is a really good course, like it's all along the seafront, I know I love the place that it's in, I love the people that I'm going with, it's all just going to make for a really nice race experience, which is more what it's about for me now. So that was really good. That was definitely not a runner's low. That was definitely another soon-to-be runner's high. Yeah, I guess the only low could be that I'm pretty much only running once a week at the weekend, and all the rest of my training has been kind of cross-training. So I've been going to One Rebel loads, like 3 times a week, and I'm really, really, really loving it, and I'm seeing loads of progress, which is great. So I'm going to all of their different classes, and in every single one I can feel myself getting stronger and faster and being able to do stuff that I wouldn't have been able to do before. I'm just really enjoying it. Yeah, not many lows at all at the moment, so that is good. So if you follow any runners at all on Instagram or Twitter, you will notice that we are kind of in the peak of marathon training season. And despite the fact that neither myself or Harry are training for a marathon at the moment, we thought it would be a good opportunity to get a couple of people on that are training for marathons, because it's very topical. I think it's 9 weeks until London Marathon, so that's a biggie. And yeah, every weekend my Instagram is jam-packed full of people that have been for long runs, and I have to say that I am in no way jealous whatsoever. So I've been going for a long run most weekends, joining in with other people's marathon training, and at the moment we're far enough out that it's a distance that I actually want to keep doing and is good training for my half marathon anyway. So far no one's run more than 11 miles or about 17-18k as part of their marathon training, so I've been able to join in. But from about next week it's going to start jumping up, and everyone's going to be kind of ticking over the half marathon mark. And I have enjoyed running so much more knowing that I'm not running for a marathon. But obviously, I feel like I'm a bit of an anomaly in this, because so many people are marathon training. So first of all, we spoke to my friend Michelle, so I had a quick chat with her. So let's have a listen. Hello.
Hi.
So tell us which marathon you're training for at the moment.
I'm training for London Marathon.
And is this your first time training for London?
It's not. It's my third time training for London.
Are you doing it for charity?
I am. I'm running for Notting Hill Housing Trust. It's a company that I work for, and the money that we raise will be going towards their welfare fund, which is a cause that I really believe in. It's for families that have been affected by the nasty Tories and the horrible welfare reform, benefit changes and stuff like that that's going on at the moment. So it's a really worthwhile cause.
Cool. And how far are we from the marathon now? Was it 9 weeks?
I'm going to say 9 weeks.
I think it's 9 weeks. Cool.
6 weeks left at work. Yeah, something like that. I'm focusing on that at the moment, but yeah.
How's your training going?
It's going really well, actually, because I think I'm somebody that doesn't take marathon running very seriously. Not that I don't think it's a big deal. I do think it's a big deal, but I don't take it seriously in the sense that I don't give a crap about running a particular time. So I'm not constantly checking my pace. I know what I'm capable of, and I'm quite comfortable with that, and I'm quite happy with that. And it's mostly just about enjoying it and running with my friends and keeping fit and being able to eat lots of cake and drink lots of beer for the entire summer afterwards.
What's your, like, do you follow a training plan? How do you structure your training?
So the first time I did it, I followed a training plan quite religiously and sort of tried to run 4 or 5 times a week, which I did, but I found it quite taxing and I found it quite stressful because with a busy schedule like most people have, I think 5 days a week is quite a big commitment. So the next time round I did it, I decided to just run a little bit more on feel and try and stick to what I thought was achievable. So I did 3 days a week, and if I found the time to do an extra run, I'd do 4, but I'm pretty much doing the same as that now. So I'm doing 3 solid runs a week and an occasional extra run, which is doable and quite sensible, I think.
What else do you do other than running?
I'm trying to do some extra strength work this time because I think it definitely does help. So I am doing a couple of days a week in the gym and a couple of extra sort of high intensity classes at One Rebel and places like that. But I'm not going crazy. I actually like to have some days off. I don't believe in the no days off thing. I think it's bollocks and everybody needs to chill out and rest and recover. It's really important.
Do you think that it's a rest day if you go swimming?
I kind of think that would probably be what people would call active recovery, which is also something that I can't quite get my head around. You either exercise or you don't, or you rest, and that's the way I see it. So swimming for me is nice and gentle.
Ongoing debate with people that they go, oh, it's a rest day, I'm just going to yoga. I'm like,
yeah,
yoga's still doing stuff, and some yoga classes are quite hard, so that's not resting.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're resting, you're watching Netflix.
Yes. Why are you running another marathon?
That's a really, really good question. I think the main reason I'm running this year actually is because my friend Sam wanted to do it and she wasn't very confident about doing it again. So she did it once before and had not the best experience. I don't think she really enjoyed the training, and I think she found it quite difficult, and she got injured and had to hobble quite a lot of the way. So she didn't have a great marathon experience, and I think anyone that does a marathon should have a fantastic experience and get the best out of it that they can. And so I'm kind of just doing it for her this year. That sounds really cheesy, but I probably wouldn't have signed up to run especially for charity again, because it's also, you know, a big ask to raise the money, but I probably wouldn't have signed up to run another marathon if she didn't want to do it. But we're doing it kind of together, and I just want her to have a great time.
Would you ever consider doing a marathon that wasn't London?
Yes, I've entered the New York ballot, so I don't think I'm one of those people that will ever run all the world majors. I mean, I certainly won't, because I'm not fast enough, and I'm not particularly keen enough to spend that much money travelling to run. But I'd like to run New York because I really love New York, and I think it's quite an iconic one to run, and it's not a super fast, flat, elitist only marathon.
What's your favourite thing about London Marathon?
That is quite a difficult one actually, because there are so many things that are amazing about it. I think my favourite is probably just the atmosphere and the fact that it is pretty special. The route is pretty iconic. I mean, some of it's pretty dark and Canary Wharf can be pretty grim, and some of the earlier bits of the marathon aren't as pretty, and
Woolwich is lovely.
Deptford, not quite sure, but
I think there's a reason why I was like, I've never been here before in my life.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's just the amazing atmosphere, the fact that people come out to support each other, and yeah, I mean, obviously being part of Run Dem Crew is pretty cool as well, because Mile 21 is an experience that I don't think I'll ever forget.
That was pretty emotional.
Yeah, it's pretty emotional being on either side. If you're there for a friend, or if you're there running through it yourself, it's pretty special. I hope Sam appreciates that when I drag her through. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that part especially.
And finally, what advice would you give someone that's never run a marathon before and was thinking about it?
I would say you should you should be 100% certain that you want to do it. You shouldn't take it lightly, but equally don't take it too seriously, especially the first time round. Don't put pressure on yourself. Like I said before, I think the enjoyment is sucked out of it somewhat if you're constantly looking at your pace and you're constantly worrying about keeping up, or, you know, spending the 3 months training just worrying that you're not doing enough. I think most people, if they set aside 3 days a week and, you know, cut back on the beer a little bit like I've been doing, can probably get through it and do it sensibly without killing themselves. So yeah, take it seriously but not too seriously, and just enjoy it.
And what are you most looking forward to doing or not doing after it's over?
I'm very much looking forward to going on holiday afterwards. We're going to New York. Although there will be some running, I'm pretty sure. I haven't put that much pressure on myself for the race, and I don't expect it to suck all life out of me and not make me want to not run again. I'm looking forward to some chill time, but I'm also quite keen to run again afterwards. Probably not another marathon, and probably not London again, because 3 times is quite a lot in quite quick succession. But if I get into New York...
Yeah, marathon training straight away again.
Yeah, straight back on it.
So that was Michelle. Now let's jump straight into my other chat with another marathon training goddess, Gosia.
Hello.
Hi.
So we're doing a bit of a marathon training special on this episode, and we're talking to people that are training for marathons, because me and Harry aren't training for one at the moment, so we need to get other people to talk about them. So tell us, which marathon are you training for?
So currently I'm training for the Barcelona Marathon, which is being held on the 13th of March this year, which is very, very soon, which is very scary actually.
So how far away is that?
Three weeks today.
3 weeks today. And is it your first one?
Yes, it is indeed, actually. I have run a couple of half marathons and quite a few 10Ks, but never really the full distance. So it's going to be the very first one, which is very exciting.
Why did you decide to step up to the marathon distance?
Might have been my flatmates.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Might have been the general craze about it these days. Quite a few of my friends run marathons recently, over the last few years anyway. A few years back, I read a book about people who run 100 and plus marathons. And I remember when I was reading it, I was crying my eyes out. And I thought to myself, well, I would never do that. At the time, I couldn't really run more than 2K. So it felt like I might be ready.
Cool. And why did you choose this marathon in particular?
I didn't get into London. I tried ballot last year and this year. And then as per recommendation... Well, there are a few suggestions, actually. I looked into Paris, but that was sold out at the time, and it seemed like Barcelona is a beautiful city. I love it as a holiday destination, so it just seemed like a really nice idea.
I think from my experience of it, I haven't run it, but being there last year when it was on, it feels like it's a really under-publicised marathon. Like, out of all the big ones, this doesn't get any publicity. Hardly anyone from the UK goes and does it, and it's such a nice route. Like, it's properly central Barcelona, and Barcelona's awesome, so...
And it was also really quite cheap, because the entry fee was just, I think, was €60, if I remember correctly. And then just going there in general as a destination is not an expensive place to go to. Mm. So, yeah, quite surprising.
I think I paid nearly €100 for Paris, so, yeah. So, how... is your training going? I'm a little bit nervous to ask this question.
Just so I won't start crying. Have a little meltdown. It was going amazing up until a couple of weeks ago. I was being very sensible. I've drawn my plan, taken it offline, and followed it to the dot. I must admit that I found it really hard to give up on my other activities. So I wasn't training, only running. I was doing lots of other things at the same time. But I thought I've curbed it enough not to get overtrained. And it was going fantastic. And I was enjoying my long runs and the short, faster ones, and I was improving a lot, and the whole journey seemed really quite fantastic. And it just happened so that 2 weeks ago, I think I might have overtrained during the week, and I was doing lots of studying, and then I went for a very long run, and it ended up with a really bad runner's knee, so I haven't run since. It's only been 2 weeks, it feels like it's been forever. Tried to run today, was really sore. Seeing physio tomorrow, but being very helpful. So cross training, lots of swimming, lots of cycling, keeping my cardio up, and hopefully I'll still be able to run in 3 weeks.
How do you feel about it now? Are you like still looking forward to it, or?
I think I am. Yes, I definitely am. I'm hoping that I will not disappoint myself. It's funny how you need to rely on your body being compliant with what you want it to do. Mm. And it makes you feel very vulnerable when it doesn't. But it's a very interesting experience of its own. And I think it's going to be fantastic, whatever happens. And I know I won't push myself to the level of hurting myself and getting a permanent injury.
Yeah.
I know I will do my best, and I think that's as much as I can do, and enjoy it. And hopefully the whole trip is going to be great. I'm sure it will, because I love Barcelona.
Yeah.
And I love the company. So I think it's going to be super fun. And you know what? There's so many other marathons in case, so I don't think I would have wasted any of the training I've done, and all the runs I've done were worth it anyway.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be able to finish it.
I'm sure you will too. What's the biggest thing you've learned so far from marathon training?
I think a little bit understanding for myself. I think every run was very different, and it's great to run with others. It's great how bonding it can be, how quickly you can become friends with people that you run with.
Mm.
It's great to hear about other people's accomplishments and what they do. It's very inspiring. It's great to get immersed in the whole running culture and start reading about it and chatting about it and sort of get like really, really involved, I guess. Even though, you know, I'll never be racing, I'll never be competing. I'm more of a, you know, I just want to do it.
Yeah.
I found it quite surprising how many people ask me if I had a time in mind for my first marathon. And I'm like, why would I? I've got no idea. No. Why?
Yeah.
And then I start thinking, maybe I should have a time in mind. But no, I don't. I would love to be able to finish it. What I think I've learned the most is sometimes it's good to take a step back and think about what's going on in your life other than running as well, because it can influence it and you can get caught up in ticking off the runs rather than just enjoying it.
Mm.
So I think from now on I'll pay a little bit more attention to that.
Is that what you would give someone that never run a marathon before as your best advice, or would it be something else?
Well, I don't know, I haven't run one yet, right? But I think just taking it one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Not being afraid of the little baby steps, like you've said to me a few weeks back when I came back from, I think I might have run at a time 17, 18 kilometers, and I was thinking, oh my God, how am I supposed to do it twice over and a little extra? And Marissa, you said, you know, try a few times, and a few times you'll go over the half marathon distance and it will just feel different. And it did. And every longer distance I was doing, I was really enjoying it. And I was like, oh my God, I may actually able to do it. So just one step at a time. Just little runs and a little longer runs, and just giving yourself the time to enjoy it, and always having the incentive of pancakes or anything else you can dream of, banana bread maybe.
There was a very funny moment in the race. We did a 10k race, and Gosha and our friend Melanie started talking about pancakes, and they actually sped up away from me, and I was looking at them. I was like, I'm going the same pace the whole time. They've actually sped up because they're talking about pancakes.
Run for the pancakes.
Oh, but no, that was good.
I really hope running is really special. It helped me a lot to get over a heartbreak from last year and just keep on going, I guess. Just being understanding with yourself that not every run has to be perfect. Not always you need to be in a good place, and not always you need to feel like you've won the lottery or you're winning in life in general. Sometimes it's just, oh, blimey, that was hard, but I still managed and I still didn't stop and I still completed the distance that I've planned. So yeah, just being patient.
So that was Michelle and Gosha talking to me about their marathon training journeys that they're going through at the moment. And the reason I wanted to get both of those on, rather than anyone super speedy or super elite or doing their millionth marathon, was because they're just two people that I know that are completely normal. Like, they're really, really good, both super good friends of mine. They're like two of my best friends, and they're doing something that is absolutely incredible. Like, I am always in awe of people that run marathons because I know how hard they are. And I think we have a danger of kind of normalizing things like even half marathon running, and marathon running especially, because so many people within the running community do it all the time. It becomes something that people just kind of do, and you don't just do a marathon. Like, it's 3 to 4 months of training. It's a really hard thing to do. It's a lot of emotional stress, it's a lot of physical stress. Like, it's a really big thing to train for. You have to really properly train for something like that. You can't just go out and run 26 miles. So I wanted to get them on to show you that normal people can do it, and as much as it is a big thing, anyone can do it. If I can do it, if we can do it, if all my friends can do it, then anyone can do it. So if you're thinking about doing a marathon and you haven't done one before, definitely give it some thought. So I wanted to just quickly talk about my first marathon, because we have only been doing this podcast for a year. So the only marathon that I've ran whilst we've been recording this podcast is London. And if you've been listening to the podcast, or if you've read anything that I've written either on my old blog or on social media, you'll know that I had an absolutely horrible race at London. I really, really hated it. And I've been very negative about running a marathon myself ever since. I have no desire to do one because of that race. However, my first marathon in 2014 was Paris, and Paris, I still count the day I ran Paris Marathon as the best day of my life. It was the perfect marathon experience. And it wasn't just because of the race day, it was the whole process of training, deciding to do the race, training for the race, booking it, going out there. Everything was just amazing. And similar to what Gosha was saying about how marathon training helped her through heartbreak, that's exactly why I decided to run a marathon. So I actually got broken up with 16 weeks to the day out from Paris Marathon, which I think is some kind of like poetic thing, because traditionally marathon training is 16 weeks long. So it was kind of like the kickstart that I needed to train for a marathon. And at the time, like, it was absolutely life-changing thing that had happened. I wasn't living in the same place anymore. I wasn't living with the same person. Someone that I was spending all my spare time with just disappeared from my life. And marathon training gave me that focus that I needed to get through that. And it gave me the kind of distraction I needed. It gave me the space to think about what I was going through. And it also made me find a group of really supportive friends for it as well. So Leah, who doesn't live in the UK anymore, who has moved back to New Zealand, kind of set up a running group called Team Naturally Run, and we did all our training runs together. So every Sunday I'd see the same group of girls, and we'd kind of all get each other through it. And that is what marathon training for me is all about. It's about the support you get from other people and the clarity you get in your own life and the structure it gives you. So yeah, I got through all the training. I didn't do all the training I was supposed to, but the one thing I did do was do every single one of my long runs. And I went out to Paris and I stayed on my own. I had no one, none of my friends or family came to cheer me on. The only people I knew that were out there, my friends, were also running it as well, but we weren't running together. So it was actually quite a solitary experience. Actually, Leah and I started together and we did a lot of the race together, but we kind of drifted apart and then found each other again. So a lot of the second half especially was on my own. The last 10k was definitely on my own, and it was
it was just really great. And I remember running down the final straight, and in my head I was absolutely sprinting it. I was like an absolute champion. On the video of it, I am basically crawling across the finish line. Like, you've never seen someone run so slow in their life. But it was great. The feeling of finishing my first marathon, I don't think will ever leave me. It was absolute pure elation, and I think that's the only reason why I would ever run a marathon again, is to get that feeling back again. I did have that at London, actually, the kind of 5 minutes when you cross the finish line, and it's just pure magic. It's just absolutely great. Anyway, the point of this story was just to say that I do have good things to say about the marathon, because my first one was great, and again, just to show that a normal person can do it. You don't have to be running like good for age qualifying times or Boston Marathon qualifying times. It doesn't matter if you take over 5 hours like I did in both of my marathons. It is a really, really great thing to do, but equally, think hard and long before you do it, because it is a big commitment. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed some of those marathon tales. We'll obviously be talking a lot more about the marathon, especially London, in the next few weeks, because although myself and Harry aren't running, we do know a lot of people that are running it. A lot of our chums of the show especially are running it. So there's been a lot of people either this episode or in previous episodes that are running it this year. So we'll definitely be catching up with them at some point. So all that's left to say is thank you for listening. We hope to see you at our first birthday run if you can make it. Harry will be hopefully back for the next episode. Yeah, it's 2 weeks away. It's fine. She'll be back by then. Like I said earlier, join us on our Facebook page, search for One for the Road. We're on Twitter and Instagram at OFTR Podcast. If you want to join in with our first birthday episode and you can't make it to the run, drop us an email on oftrpodcast@gmail.com and we'll get back to you, letting you know how you can join in. And we would absolutely love it if you left us a review and subscribed to our podcast on iTunes, because it all helps other people find us as well. As ever, if you've got any other feedback, get in touch. But if not, we'll see you in a fortnight. Bye.
Hello again. So you thought it was the end of the show, but not quite. As a bonus for getting to the very end of this episode, thank you very much for that, and well done. You get to listen to a little Harry bonus, as you haven't heard much of her this time. So here she is, reporting from the slopes.
Here we are. I'm doing a On the Slope live from Austria, and we're on a bubble, and we're about to hop off the bubble. So Pete and I are on the chairlift. No, what is it? A bubble. Not quite down with my terminology yet. We've had a very nice day, flinging ourselves down some mountains. I have done some reds, which is a serious improvement on previous trips. A bit like running, there's a bit of a lot to do with your mental state and how you think about things, and probably much more similar to cycling into how you have to put up with other people and learn to kind of deal with people whizzing past you and watching you when you fall over. A bit like in cycling when you're trying to navigate all the cars. So it's good. I think my other sport endeavours have helped me learn how to improve at snowboarding. I did just really fall over, but I only hurt my head a bit, so I'm all right. And I got up and did another turn, so it's okay. I think we've got a few more runs to the bottom before the end of the day, and then it's time for some après-ski and some van show. Hope you're okay in London. See you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.